Lecture topic, Spite and Jealousy, Destruction to the Identity of the Ummah, Part 2.
The Nabi of Allah has said, the narration of Ibn Asakir, مَا مِن مَلَكٍ إِلَّا وَهُوَ يُوَقِّرُ عُمَرٍ وَلَا فِي الْأَرْضِ الشَّيْطَانٌ إِلَّا وَهُوَ يَفْرُقُ مِنْ عُمَرٍ. The Nabi of Allah said, I haven't yet met an angel that doesn't salute Umar, and I haven't yet seen a devil that's not afraid of Umar. So Umar had to just flash that card. Brother, for the record's sake, the Nabi of Allah said this, who needs you? No, I cried. Umar held on to him. Umar begged him. Umar beseeched him. Umar implored him. He said, my brother, I'll do anything in my means to clear this dislike in your heart. Don't jeopardize my entry into Jannah. A man like Umar, who didn't need the pardon of one person to secure his entry for the multiple accolades that he had. How many thousands of people are cursing nasty things to me because of my provocative behavior, because of my inconsistency? How is this going to reconcile on the day of Qiyamah when I appear before Allah? And when I make this translation of Umar, it's not a thumbsuck and it's not a shot in the dark. It is paraphrasing the Arabic word فَلَمْ يَزَلْ بِهِ. فَلَمْ يَزَلْ بِهِ in Arabic means Umar hanged on to him. Umar hanged on to him till you don't forgive, I won't leave. حَتَّى غَفَرَ لَهُ. He said, okay Umar, I am convinced and I'm ready to reconcile with you so that you can move forward. Subhanallah. The point that I'm trying to stress here and say is that these differences, these bickerings are inevitable. We cannot expect that it's going to be hiccup free. What we are asking is rise beyond and have the broad shoulders and embrace the good of one another and move forward. So here is yet another sensitive issue that comes in our history. And that is the narration has been captured in Hayatul Sahaba and other books of hadith as well. Raja ibn Rabi'ah says, we were sitting in a gathering. You know, there is another incident that comes to mind. Ibn Asakir has mentioned this and I've read it myself, that some Sahaba say we were gone out in a campaign to Iraq. And we were victorious while we were in Iraq. And when we returned, we came with some beautiful dress from that place and some beautiful sweetmeat and delicacies that were given to us. So we returned, we clad ourselves with this exclusive dress and we came and immediately we reported back to headquarters to meet with the leader of the believers, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. فَأَعْرَضَ عَنَّا بِوَجْهِهِ. Umar radiallahu anhu turned his face away and he gave us a cold shoulder. We returned, we were tired, we were exhausted, we performed, we delivered, we achieved. Really, we didn't need this type of reception when we got back. In our understanding, it was uncalled for. But anyway, this was Sahaba. It was not my personal motive. It was looking at the cause of deen. So immediately they went to Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu and they said, Abdullah, you would understand your dad better than us. We returned. We were all excited and elated. We went to Sayyidina Umar. He gave us a cold shoulder. He said, Inna Amir al-Mu'mineen ra'a alaykum libasan lam yara Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yalbasuhu. The reality is, the way I understand my dad, he's seen you clad in a dress that he had never seen the Nabi of Allah wearing this. Hence, he couldn't digest the sight because it was alien and foreign to him. So you want to go back, change your clothes, and I'm sure things would be much better for you. Now they didn't say, but what's so wrong with it? But end of the day, we went, but we entitled, but who said, but what's the logistics? What's the dynamics? What's the democracy? No, no, no. They were out to change and help. They were out to improve and better. So they went immediately without arguing the whole scenario. They remove that clothing and they wear their regular dress and they come back. And then Umar embraces them with such a warm embrace as if nothing unpleasant had occurred prior to this. That just means they did not represent their egos, they represented the deen. I don't have anything personal between me and you, my brother. It's the deen of Allah and that's it. Then they presented Sayyidina Umar with this beautiful delicacies. Fadaqahu, he tasted it. He said, that's enough for me, move it aside. He said, must I predict something? They said, go for it. He said, لَيَقْتُلَنَّ مِنْكُمُ الْإِبْنُ أَبَاهُ وَالْأَخُ أَخَاهُ عَلَىٰ هَذَا الطَّعَامِ. I foresee a bleak era coming your way where a son will slay his father for food like this and a brother will kill his sibling to eat delicacies like this. I don't want to involve myself in food like this. Feed someone else. I foresee an era where a son will slay his dad, his biological dad, and a brother will kill his sibling to procure and secure delicacies like this. And he said, give it to those, whose parents were the veterans and who were martyred in the early days of Islam. Perhaps their descendants and their offspring are the most deserving and not people like myself. So anyway, Raja ibn Rabi'ah makes mention of this narration. And he says, we were sitting and with us was Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu anhu. And just then, Hassan radiallahu anhu passes by. Now understand, Hassan was this great sahabi, the grandson of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You know, there are multiple accolades that we can enumerate of the great sahabi Hassan radiallahu anhu. So he passes by and Hassan radiallahu anhu said, Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. فَرَدَّ عَلَيْهِ الْقَوْمِ. So Abu Sa'id Khudri and other sahaba, they all said, Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. But we didn't hear an audible response from Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. When Hassan radiallahu anhu moved forward, أَتْبَعَهُ أَيْ بِبَصَرِهِ. Then Abdullah ibn Umar focused his gaze towards Hassan radiallahu anhu, and from the rear, very softly he said, Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. And then he addressed us and he said, أَلَا أُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِأَحَبِّ أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِ السَّمَاءِ. Must I not share with you that individual on this earth who is most beloved in the eyes of Allah? قُلْنَا بَلَىٰ. We said, please don't keep this a secret and go forward and tell us. He said, the very gentleman who has walked past, he is the most beloved to Allah. وَاللَّهِ مَا كَلَّمَنِي كَلِمَةً وَلَا كَلَّمْتُهُ كَلِمَةً مُنْدُ لَيَالِي صِفِّينَ. Tragically and unfortunately, myself and him, due to some differences, have not exchanged a polite word from the battle of Siffin. And it's been a long time. وَلَا أَن يَرْضَى عَنِّي. But if somebody can be bold enough to reconcile this relation today, I will be the happiest man the earth has ever seen. وَلَأَنْ يَرْضَى عَنِّي أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ. And if somebody can just facilitate this and reconcile this and create this muhabba between us, I'm ecstatic, I'm done. The thing that I'm waiting for in this world to happen is done for me and it's over. So Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu anhu said, أَلَا نَقُومُ فَنَعْتَذِرُ. If that's your passion, then let's stand up, go to him, apologize and reconcile. Now if I say this, that I want to reconcile, and somebody say, let's go. No, I don't mean like that. Yeah, inshallah, one day, look here, when we go for Hajj, you never know, Allah can unite us there. You see, that's unfortunately our type of thinking. As the Quran says, بَلْ يُرِيدُ الْإِنسَانُ لِيَفْجُرَ أَمَامَهُ. بَلْ يُرِيدُ الْإِنسَانُ لِيَفْجُرَ أَمَامَهُ يَسْأَلُ أَيَّانَ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. نَقُومُ فَنَعْتَذِرُ. Let's stand up and go to Hassan radiallahu anhu and apologize. That's what you want to do. He said, yeah, let's go. Now can you imagine how difficult that moment is if you're not in speaking terms and then you end up at the traffic light and you roll your window down and oops, here's the brother. Or you walk into the aisle and then subhanallah, here's the brother you bump into and you're like trying to duck behind invisible pillars and you're creating these pillars to take shelter because you don't know where to hide yourself. These are the types of things we do. But because the hearts were clean. So they go. And Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu anhu fasta'adhan, he asked Hassan radiallahu anhu, can I come in? He said, yeah, please come in. He said, I have a guest with me. Can I usher him in? Can we welcome him? So Hassan radiallahu anhu said, and who's your guest? He said, Abdullah ibn Umar. He said, wow, that's great. He said, yes, I've got Abdullah ibn Umar. My word, please bring him in. We sat down. Who breaks the ice? Who makes the bold statement? Where do we start? We're like, these are the type of gestures we'll do. No, you tell him, no, don't say this. No. So Abu Sa'id, this is what the Quran said. Sahaba were أَقَلُّهُمْ تَكَلُّفًا. They didn't harbor any formalities. قُلْ مَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَجْرٍ وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُتَكَلِّفِينَ. أي وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُتَصَنِّعِينَ. Say unto them, I don't ask for any compensation on my message. And I'm not from amongst those who act and pretend. I'm not from amongst those who act and pretend. I say it, I do it. I claim it, I deliver it. So we sat down. Abu Sa'id then looked at Abdullah ibn Umar and he said, حَدِّثْنَا بِالَّذِي حَدَّثْتَنَا حَيْثُ مَرَّ الْحَسَنِ. Subhanallah. He said, listen, Abdullah ibn Umar, you just want to remind us, when Hassan radiallahu anhu walked past, you were paying tribute to the man. You just want to remind us what you said? Simple, beautiful, go to the point, reconcile. When the man passed by, you just want to say what he said? Now what did I say? What's the sign of a jealous man? وَذِي حَسَدٍ يَغْتَابُنِي حَيْثُ لَا يَرَى مَكَانِي وَيُثْنِي صَالِحًا حَيْثُ أَسْمَعُ. That when we sit in together, then he praises me. And in my absence, he speaks ill of me. And when we say it's wrong to speak ill of someone in his absence, it doesn't for a moment mean it's correct to speak ill of people in their presence. Because the Quran negates that. وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ. Woe be to those who speak ill of people in their presence and in their absence. So sometimes we say, no, me, I'll tell him behind his back and I'll tell him on his face also. That compounds the crime and doesn't lessen the offense. That's sheer ignorance, if not arrogance. He said, حَدِّثْنَا بِالَّذِي حَدَّثْتَنَا. Tell us what you said when Hassan radiallahu anhu passed by. He said, yes, basically I said, إِنَّهُ أَحَبُّ أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِ السَّمَىٰ. I say it and I say it again. I said, on the entire earth, there isn't a soul more beloved to Allah than this very man, Hassan radiallahu anhu. So Hassan radiallahu anhu then took exception and he looked at Abdullah ibn Umar. He said, فَلِمَ قَاتَلْتَنَا يَوْمَ صِفِّينَ. If you believe I'm the noblest and I'm the best, then why did you unsheath your sword against me and my dad in the battle of Siffin? If this is your belief about me, then why did you withdraw your sword against me? But like I said, Sahaba, فَقَاتِلُهُمْ وَقَتِيلُهُمْ. Both of them were amazing. Every one of them were amazing. Every one of them were unique in their own ways. He said, allow me the opportunity not to justify my situation, but to explain my sequence of events. So he said, go for it. He said, "Inna Amran shakani ila Rasulillah." My dad, Amr ibn As, had lodged a complaint in the court of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And again, when I read this, I cry. And I cry because this was such a pleasant complaint. You might find difficulty in reconciling with my words. How can it be a complaint and how can it be pleasant? It doesn't gel, it doesn't tie. But this is the reality of it. He said, my dad had complained and I wish today I had that complaint. And I wish the complaints of the guardians and the parents and the custodians were this complaint. So what was the complaint of my dad to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Inna amran yasumu an-nahar wa yaqumu al-layl. Oh Nabi of Allah, I need to talk to you. It's like every masjid I go to, wherever you walk out, Shaykh, I need to have a minute with you. My son, this one, that issue. Which home is free from it? We know the rebellion nature, the revolting nature, the arrogance of the youth that is just coming out and unfortunately has permeated the whole body. And in every way you see that arrogance, Allah guide and protect one and all. Someone said, we only have youth once because that's all society can handle. And somebody said, what's the definition or what's the key to success according to the youth of today? The one that fits the ignition. What's the key to success by the definition of the youth of today? The one that fits the ignition. It's all about cars. It's all about materialism. It's all about amassing and that's about it. So my dad had lodged a complaint. And what was the complaint? My dad told the Prophet of Allah, O Prophet of Allah, my son Amr, he prays the whole night. and he observes fast every day. Please speak to him, man. He cannot pray so much. Ya Subhanallah. Once upon a time, this was the complaint of the guardians about their youth. Where was our legacy? And what were our rich days? And where has this ummah stooped today? Where parents are complaining, negotiate with my child to at least offer his Jummah prayers. Speak to my child. I went to visit some elderly aunts of mine and my wife's after Ramadan. And you know, I said, Subhanallah, we need to strike the balance. Passed in the late 80s. And then they said, you know, I don't have the strength anymore and I'm unable to observe my 6 fasts of Shawwal. And I feel so terrible about this. I did it in my youth. And I consoled them and I said, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, إِذَا مَرِضَ الْعَبْدُ أَوْ سَافَرْ كُتِبَ لَهُ مِثْلُ مَا كَانَ يَعْمَلُ صَحِيحًا مُقِيمًا. That when you age and you become senile and you become frail and weak, then Allah captures and records for you all the good actions you did in your youth. So take solace, you did it when you were young and active and healthy, the reward will continue. But there's this regret and this remorse. So I said, this is the gulf we got. Those that are exempted are lamenting that they don't have the ability. And on the other hand, we have this young man who's throwing out his zest and his zeal, who's throwing out his might and his power, and he's oblivious of the obligatory and mandatory fast of Ramadan. And the consequences are catastrophic and grave. And we have an old-aged, frail woman who's lamenting that she's unable to observe the optional fast. Like, what has happened to this ummah? So then the Prophet of Allah looked at me and he said, Sum wa aftir wa salli wa nam. Listen, Amr, listen to your dad. Listen to your dad. And you need to pray, offer the nocturnal prayer and sleep. And sometimes fast and sometimes eat. Wa ati' amran, wa ati' amran. But whatever happens, listen to your dad. So those words were embedded in my heart. Those words were ringing in my ears. When it came to the occasion of Siffin, Aqsama alayya, my dad said, my dad looked at me and he said, Abdullah, you joining me. And I just remembered the Nabi of Allah said, don't ever violate the sentiments of your dad. So I tied the two and I came on the battlefield. Wallahi ma katharatu lahum sawada, wala akhtaratu lahum sayfa, wala ta'antu bi rumhin, wala ramaytu bi sahmin. But trust me, Hassan radiallahu anhu, I respect you, I honor you. I only stood on that battlefield purely in compliance to the sentiments of my dad because the Nabi of Allah had impressed upon me to do so. I did not add to their numbers. I did not unsheath my sword. I did not release my arrow. I did not pierce my spear. So then Hassan radiallahu anhu said, Ama alimta annahu la ta'ata li makhluqin fi ma'siyatil khaliq. All said and done, but you know the golden rule, there is no submission to the creation at the cost of disobeying the creator. I said, precisely, and I am apologizing for this. And he begged, ka'annahu qabila minhu, until the relation was reconciled and the relation was then amended. Imagine a man like Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu, who enjoyed so many accolades, but he took the bold step to go forward, make the unity, make the peace and go forward. 2-3 incidents and then I wrap up. There is a narration in Darimi. It's mentioned under At-Tawbikh liman yatlubu al-ilma li ghayri wajhi Allah. Severe warnings for those who are the custodians of organizations, who are the forerunners in terms of Islamic activities. What diluted agendas, what corrupted intentions, those who imbibe the sciences of this deen with polluted endeavors and diluted intentions as well. At-tawbiq, chastisement. Liman yatlubu al-ilm, for anyone and everyone who acquires the sciences of deen or engages in the dissemination of deen, لِغَيْرِ وَجْهِ اللَّهِ, for any reason other than the happiness of Allah. And Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu's quotation has been mentioned there in Darami. He said, Ya Hamlat al-Ilm, O those that are in charge of this ummah, O those that are looking after this ummah, in Kitab al-Zuhud of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, under the advisor Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, he said an amazing thing. He said, those that are the leaders of this ummah, they pretty much like the salt to the food. When the food doesn't have taste, then you add salt to it to flavor it. But he said, when the salt has lost its taste, then how do you restore the taste of the food? When the salt itself has lost its taste, Ya milhal ard, Ya milhal Islam, oh the salt of this ummah, oh the guardians of this ummah, oh the custodians of this ummah, إِذَا فَسَدَ الطَّعَامُ أَصْلَحَهُ الْمِلْحِ. When the food loses its taste, you flavor it lightly with salt. وَإِذَا فَسَدَ الْمِلْحِ. But when the salt itself lost its taste, how do you restore flavor to this food? And really today, unfortunately, the salt has lost its taste. The salt has lost its flavor. Someone said, the biggest challenge the youth of today are facing is to emulate character without seeing any examples. The greatest challenge that is upon this young generation that have been unleashed and their talent has been thrown out is to tell them to mimic the ways of nobility without any examples. So we cannot even say, look up to that man, take solace from that man, be inspired by that man. There's just no direction. So Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, Ya hamlat al-ilmi i'malu bihi. Listen, discharge the obligation of the post that you are in. Convey the knowledge that Allah has given to you. فَإِنَّمَا الْعَالِمُ مَنْ عَلِمَ بِمَا عَمِلُ. He is a scholar, he is an ambassador who marries his claims with actions. This harmony between what he says and what he does. وَسَيَكُونُ أَقْوَامٌ. There will be many people who will come and claim, لَا يُجَاوِزُ تَرَاقِيَهُمْ, but the knowledge won't cross their collarbone. يُخَالِفُ عَمَلُهُمْ عِلْمَهُمْ وَتُخَالِفُ سَرِيرَتُهُمْ عَلَانِيَتَهُمْ. They will be blatant contradiction in their utterances and their actions. There will be gross discrepancy in their private and public life. I say this often in many of my talks, where someone said, I consider every person better than me. When asked why, he said, because I assume he is a sinner and I know I am a sinner. You're a human, you're a mortal. Fallibility is intrinsic to you, it's inherent, it's inborn. So I assume you sin, but I know I sin. لِأَنَّنِي عَلَى نَفْسِي مِنْ يَقِينٍ وَعَلَى النَّاسِ مِنْ ضَعْفٍ وَعَلَى النَّاسِ مِنْ ظَنٍ. I assume, maybe you sin, you're a human, but I know I sin. That is why I often say the easiest way to deflate your ego when you are being praised and flattered is reflect over your sins. The man is praising me only because he's not aware of that private life of mine. If this man who's singing my praises knows that past of my life or that other side of my life, he would never be making those praises. And the testimony of this is when you heard your wife and your kids praising you. In fact, they object when others praise. Like I told you, my children told me I must stop mentioning them in the talks, but I share them because it's real, right? So when my young son, once somebody, he was a very fond brother of mine, and he used to listen to me a lot, and he said, Sheikh, when my first child is born, I'm bringing him straight to you, and you got to do the tahniq. And from the clinic, I told my wife, the baby can go to your parents afterwards, but first I'm going to Sheikh, and really he must bless the child. And so he comes home with his baby, newborn, and still all weak and frail. And so my young son was there. He says, but dad, isn't the practice is you got to go to a pious man? I'm like, yeah, what's the problem? But you not. Right? You're only praising me, my brother, because you don't know the other side of me. And we ask Allah never to reveal that to the world. We ask Allah never to reveal that to the world. Anyway, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, there will be gross discrepancy in their public life and their private life. That is why when Salma bin Dinar, Abu Hazim, his son asked him, إِنَّ أَشْيَاخَنَا كَثِيرُونَ فَبِمَنْ نَقْتَدِي مِنْهُمْ. There's so many scholars, there's so many opinions. Who do we follow? He said, اِقْتَدِي بِمَنْ يَخَافُ اللَّهَ فِي ظَهْرِ الْغَيْبِ. Look for that scholar who fears Allah in his private capacity and hold on to him and honor his verdicts. And listen, my brother, When you need a triple bypass and heart surgery, you really try and track down that cardiac surgeon. And it's not easy to find him. And the waiting list is long. And the cost is exorbitant. But you wait your turn because you're going to put your heart before him. He's going to be operating on the table before you. So you track him down, and finally when you find him, you put your health case and your files and your reports and your x-rays before him, and you run with his expertise. You'll need to search for that scholar. And I'm sure you will find him, because the Quran has declared, "Inna ibadi laysa laka alayhim sultan," that there will remain a sizable number from my servants that will never succumb to the provocation of the devil, will never surrender to the indoctrination or the injections of the devil. So this is a bold declaration of the Quran, which gives us solace that they will remain the pious till the end of times. So he said, وَسَيَكُونُ أَقْوَامٌ لَا يُجَاوِزُ تَرَقِيَهُمْ, it won't cross their collarbone. And يُخَالِفُ عِلْمُهُمْ عَمَلَهُمْ وَتُخَالِفُ سَرِيرَتُهُمْ عَلَانِيَتَهُمْ يُبَاهِ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا. Their piety will be reduced to only braving and chanting their own slogans. We did this, we achieved this, we performed this, we delivered this, we like this, we like that. I'm like this, you down like, that's it. The entire essence of that individual, that movement, that organization would be harping on their achievements. يُبَاهِ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا حَتَّى أَنَّ الرَّجُلْ لَيَغْضَبُ عَلَى جَلِيسِهِ أَنْ يَجْلِسَ إِلَى غَيْرِهِ. They will become so obsessed with themselves that if one of their members, to use the phrase, defects and attends another gathering, they shun him and discard him. And they say, that's the end of you. You are no more part of us. We are no more part of you. Sayyidina Ali said, أُولَٰئِكَ لَا تَصْعَدُ أَعْمَالُهُمْ فِي مَجَالِسِهِمْ تِلْكَ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Those people's efforts, contributions, devotions, and all their piety will not even reach the heavens, never mind the court of acceptance. And really, my brother, Sayyidina Ali said, don't trivialize a good action, because if it is accepted, it cannot be insignificant. And don't boast about a great action, because if it's rejected, how can it be big? Wow. What did he say? Do not trivialize an action, because if that small action is accepted, كَيْفَ يَقِلُّ مَا يُتَقَبَّلْ, how can that be small which is accepted? And don't boast about something that's apparently big, because if it's rejected, how can it be big? If it's rejected, how can it be great? But if it's accepted, how can it be small? And nobody can pronounce who has ikhlas, that only Allah knows. You know, to say, you know, I'm not judging, but I can tell you that brother doesn't have ikhlas. Subhanallah. My brother, what are you up to? I'm like, yeah, brother, I doubt he's got ikhlas. Look here, I'm not saying about myself, but I think he doesn't have. Subhanallah. One, two incidents and we wrap up. To show you, those whose hearts are clean, the great reward. And those whose hearts are filled with malice, the catastrophic consequences and repercussions. So among the spouses of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of his elder spouses was Sauda bint Zam'a radiyallahu anha. She was a woman of age, compared to Aisha radiyallahu anha, young, in her early ages. She was 18 when the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away. The Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam endeavored to maintain fairness between all his spouses to his level best. However, his heart would incline towards Aisha radiallahu anha, and that's no secret, it's known to everyone. Look at Sauda radiallahu anha. Look at Sauda radiallahu anha. One is to come and antagonize this. No, Nabi of Allah, I've been watching you. And women watch you very well, my brother. You know that better, right? Oh, Nabi of Allah, I've watched you. And I've observed. You know, husband and wife were having this discussion. So the husband says to his wife, the wife says to the husband, you are so insensitive. Every time I'm speaking to you, yawning as if I'm monotonous. I've observed you've been yawning 5 times. So he's like, my darling, I'm not yawning, I'm trying to say something. Every time I'm opening my mouth, it's an attempt to respond. It's not a yawn. Honestly, I'm not being boring, I'm trying to respond. But where do I get the chance? Oh Nabi of Allah, I've observed you. And I think it's as bright as the sun. You are very fond of your wife Aisha radiallahu anha, who to Sauda radiallahu anha was as good as a daughter, not a co-wife. The age discrepancy was big, great, decades, years apart. Sauda radiallahu anha featured amongst the elderly, noble, honorable consorts, while our mother Aisha Ummul Mu'mineen radiallahu anhuma was the younger of the spouses of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I've observed this year, and I have made peace with the fact that you love her more, and I'm happy with that. And I'm happy for her that this luck has fallen on her lap. I don't want to antagonize my relation with you, and I don't want to get personal and bicker and petty and sensitive about this. I've realized this, and I'm a woman of age. I've moved past and beyond the age where I have the physical need of a man. I am hereby handing over my due and my right that you owe me to visit me to my co-wife Aisha radiallahu anha. My brother, do you know what that is? A, in an average circumstances, a woman doesn't part with a recipe. I don't know, here, maybe here they're generous, good luck. But by and large, they give a recipe with one ingredient short, so that the cake flops. And then you come back and say, you know what, she's got the magical hand. She's got this hand about it. We need to go back to her. What kind of butter you use? No, you can use any butter. Your oven? Oh, any oven. I can't spell that to you, right? I can't spell that to you. Because if I spell that to you, then everybody has my secret. Furthermore, sitting in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, every moment is years of ibadat. But she decided to rise beyond. Listen, my brother, you have greater ability than me. May Allah reward you. I wish you well. Yeah, you take in charge. You go forward. Let's see how the... It's not a matter of me challenging you or you winning me. It's how the deen of Allah goes forward. And how we can come and appear before on the day of Qiyamah, that our get-together here today, these hundreds at this late hour, how can this turn to be fruitful and meaningful in the court of Allah? And that is why I often say, I envy my audience much more than myself. Because I can be standing here with 1,000 polluted intentions. But it's very difficult for a listener to have a corrupted intention. I can be standing here with arrogance. I can be standing here to sit and show my oratory skills and I don't claim anything. I can be sitting here to say how long I can be having 12 wrong ideas. So I have a daunting responsibility. While you are sitting here only with the intention of reformation, there's nothing you're going to impress anyone by saying, I sat in this man's talk. What do you get out of it? But yes, I have this great responsibility, and may Allah guide me and protect me and all the scholars, that I am the driving seat, because at every moment the devil can come and hijack the goodness of your intention and dilute it with evil. So, O Nabi of Allah, I hand over my chance. Don't divorce me, because there were some issues in the relation as well, and we don't want to go. Don't divorce me. I have excused you, and you can. فَكَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَقْسِمُ لِعَيْشَةَ يَوْمَيْنِ. And I've seen this in my own relation and my siblings. A parent loves them, all the kids more. But some child has won the confidence of his father even more, or has won the confidence of his mom. Now, instead of arguing with that sibling of yours and creating malice in your heart, salute that brother of yours. Boy, I salute you. I honor you. And that's what the brothers of Yusuf said. قَالُوا تَاللَّهِ لَقَدْ آثَرَكَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا قَالُوا تَاللَّهِ لَقَدْ آثَرَكَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا وَإِن كُنَّا لَخَاطِئِينَ. Listen, Yusuf, we hated you with a passion. We wanted to drop you. We wanted to end your life. We drop our heads in submission. Our hat off for you. We salute you. You're a great man. We say it openly, without any form of reservation. Our dad loves you more, and you would love him more, and rightfully so. We now want to win his confidence by acknowledging your relation. But when you get petty and you start bickering, then you lose your relation with your sibling and your parent. To say, no, I always say to youngsters, as long as you are judging your parents, you're a child. You are immatured. If you hold in that grudge, my dad gave him more and gave me less, oh my friend, I'm afraid. You are light years behind. You better get up quickly and sort your act out and stop holding anything in your heart for your parents. فكان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقسم لعائشة يومين يومها ويوم سودة. So the Nabi of Allah would give Aisha radiallahu anha two nights. One was her own right, and one was the right of her co-wife that had gifted it, and that was Sauda radiallahu anha. In doing so, Sauda only came so much closer to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what did she say? فَإِنِّي أُرِيدُ أَنْ أُبْعَثْ مَعَ نِسَائِكَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. O Nabi of Allah, I don't need to have time in this world. I just want to be part of those women who stand up on your side as your wives on the day of Qiyamah. That's all. Everything, if we are not worried who takes the credit, who stole the show, who took the platform. No. We need to get the wheel turning. And I leave you with the last incident. And this is on the flip side of it. That was the positive and that's the negative. There was this man, Qarun. We heard of him. We read about him. We know about him. The Quran speaks about him. But briefly, let me run you through a few things. And this is serious. And that is why I conclude on this note. The narration of Ibn Kathir, and this is where I read it. Ibn Jurayd says, كان أكثر أهل العلم على أنه ابن عم موسى. The majority of scholars say that Qarun was the cousin of Musa alayhi salam. Listen very attentively. We're not talking of an ordinary man. The cousin of Musa alayhi salam. The narration of Qatada in Ibn Kathir, and I read it myself. كان يسمى منور. He was known as the enlightened individual because he had this melodious voice with which he would recite the Torah. The narration of Ruhul Ma'ani on the strength of Muhammad ibn Ishaq, كان حافظا للتوراتي. He just didn't recite the Torah, he had imbibed the Torah. He had memorized the Torah. The narration of Ma'riful Quran, and in Ruhul Ma'ani this is also mentioned, that when Sayyidina Musa had selected 70 individuals, and he went to Mount Tur, and those 70 individuals were privileged to converse with Allah. وَاخْتَارَ مُوسَى قَوْمَهُ سَبْعِينَ رَجُلًا لِمِيقَاتِنَا وَاخْتَارَ مُوسَى قَوْمَهُ سَبْعِينَ رَجُلًا لِمِيقَاتِنَا. Imagine this great privilege that 70 ordinary mortals were given the opportunity to converse with Allah. And amongst that 70 was Qarun. That's the accolades. And the narration of Ma'riful Quran, he came to Musa alayhi salam. He said, I'm your cousin. Your brother Harun is my cousin. You two are prophets and I'm not a prophet. You know the Torah, I know the Torah. So what distinguishes you from me? What gives you this edge above me? What gives you this superiority over me? Common family, you've mastered the Torah. I have a beautiful voice. I have all what it takes to qualify for a prophet. Why not me? Why not me? So Musa alayhi salam said, hang on, I didn't put in an application form. You know what? Applying for prophethood, pending. Keep on checking your emails for updates. We'll keep you posted. You'll hear a beep. We'll drop you a mail. No, nothing like that. This was the choice of Allah, and Allah decided this. And really, I cannot say otherwise. But obviously, he couldn't reconcile to see somebody else going ahead. Remember in my early statements, I said what Imam Ghazali said, that فَإِنَّ الدُّنْيَا لَا تَخْلُو قَطُّ عَنْ خَلْقٍ كَثِيرٍ مِّنْ أَقْرَانِهِ وَمَعَارِفِهِ مِمَّنْ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ بِعِلْمٍ أَوْ مَالٍ أَوْ جَاهٍ أَوْ مَحَبَّةٍ فِي قُلُوبِ النَّاسِ. The system of Allah is there will always be someone in your school, in your institution, in your fraternity, amongst your peers, that will be one above. And that is the choice of Allah. That is the decree of Allah. So you're up against the system of Allah. You're up against the system of Allah. Musa alayhi salam said, this is the choice of Allah and I cannot say anything. Anyway, this was brewing within him. So now he started plotting and conniving. And let me draw you, I know time is running, to a very sensitive point. In the concluding verses of Surah Nas, where Allah wraps up the Quran, Allah says, وَمِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدٍ. Allah didn't ask or instruct us to ask protection from the jealous. Allah didn't say ask protection from the jealous. Allah said seek protection from the jealous when he cannot contain his jealousy. Seek protection from the jealous when he starts displaying his jealousy. And the scholars of tafsir, they dissect this. Jazahumullahu anna khair al-jazad. Because a certain degree of envy grips the heart of every human with no exception. So when I see my peer going ahead, there is a twinge that gets into me and says, oh well, I wish I had it. As long as I don't speak nasty, I don't make derogatory remarks, I don't try physically to put him down, I don't mobilize the anti-campaign, then that is hopefully outside the forbidden. But it's human within me when I see someone go ahead or excels me to feel something within me. Hence we say, Allah save us from the jealous when they become envious and they cannot contain their emotions and they throw it out. So anyway, one day Sayyidina Musa, and this is mentioned in Tafsir al-Samarqandi, Bahrul Ulum, and that's exactly where I read it. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam gathered Qarun and he said to him, إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَنِي أَنْ أَخُذَ مِنْ مَالِكَ الزَّكَاةِ. Allah has told me to collect zakat from your wealth. فَأَعْطِنِي مِنْ كُلِّ مِئَتَي دِرْهَمْ خَمْسَ دَرَاهِمْ. So from 200, give me 5 dirhams. He said, no, not at all. That's too much. You claim in a lot. So Musa alayhi salam reduced it and he said, okay, from 1,000, give me 1 dirham. So he said, no, I won't give you a dime. I won't give you anything. إِنَّ مُوسَى لَمْ يَرْضَى حَتَّى تَنَاوَلَ أَمْوَالَكُمْ. Musa wants to usurp your wealth and he wants to consume your assets. So he gathered his people and he said, we need to do something to this man. I beg for your undivided attention. So they said, رَأْيُنَا لِرَأْيُكَ تَبْعُنْ. You make the call, we'll comply. They said, okay, let's institute a claim of adultery against him. Now this is it. A jealous man loses his sanity. He loses his brains. Just remember who we're talking of? The cousin of Moses. Who we talking of? A man who conversed with Allah. Who we talking of? A man who memorized the Torah. And you need to know in sequence after the Quran, the next kitab is the Torah. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى وَهَارُونَ الْفُرْقَانَ وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى وَهَارُونَ الْفُرْقَانَ وَضِيَاءً وَذِكْرًا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah has praised the Torah. A man who spoke to Allah. So anyway, Musa alayhi salam makes a public address. They speak to some woman, pay her a handsome amount, and then she comes forward. They say, oh Musa, what's the penalty of a person who's guilty of theft? Musa alayhi salam said, this is the consequences. وَإِنْ سَرَقْتَ أَنْتَ. But what happens if you're guilty of theft? He said, surely the same will apply to me. Nobody's above the law. Okay. وَإِنْ زَنَا. And if somebody commits zina, adultery, fornication, infidelity, promiscuity, they said, these are the consequences. وَإِنْ زَنَيْتَ أَنْتَ. And what about you, oh Musa, if you've done it? Oh, the consequences are same to me and to everyone. I said, well Musa, don't speak so bold because na'udhu billah, it gives me a shiver in my body to even quote those words. Oh Musa, wal'iyadhu billah, you have committed and perpetrated adultery. Musa said, what? No, this is now blatant, this is really nasty, this is completely bizarre and ludicrous. They called that woman up. And he said, that woman will speak. It's in Bahrul Ulum, as I mentioned, this entire narration. This woman, you've committed zina with her. Musa alayhi salam looked at her and he said, أَسْأَلُكِ بِالَّذِي فَلَقَ الْبَحْرَ وَضَلَّلَ الْغَمَامَ. I ask you in the name of Allah who split the waters for Bani Israel. And ask you in the name of Allah who sent the clouds to shade them in the desert. Speak the truth and fear Allah. She said, إِذَا كُنْتَ حَلَفْتَنِي فَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّكَ بَرِيءٌ. Now that you've taken Allah's name, I exonerate you totally. You are sinless and you are free. It is Qarun who had set this entire thing up so that I can implicate you purely because of his jealousy against you. The moment was overbearing. The moment was too colossal. Sayyidina Musa fell into sajda. خر موسى ساجدا. He fell into prostration. Allah said, ما يبكيك يا موسى. Read the narration in بحر العلوم. Musa, what makes you tear and sob? He said, oh my Lord, I think you've given too much grace and clemency and respite to this man. He's now taken his agenda against me to the accusation of infidelity and adultery, O Allah. Allah said, oh Musa, do not be afraid. قَدْ أَمَرْتُ الْأَرْضَ أَن تُطِيعَكَ. The land is at your command. Gesture it and it will surrender to you. At that moment, Sayyidina Musa said, oh my Allah, no mercy to this man. Let the earth split and let him go down. And the Quran says, فَخَسَفْنَا بِهِ وَبِدَارِهِ الْأَرْضِ فَخَسَفْنَا بِهِ وَبِدَارِهِ الْأَرْضِ فما كان له من فئة ينصرونه من دون الله وما كان من المنتصرين وأصبح الذين تمنوا مكانه بالأمس يقولون ويكأن الله يبسط الرزق لمن يشاء من عباده ويقدر لولا أمن الله علينا لخسف بنا ويكأنه لا يفلح الكافرون. Your hearts would burst. The Quran said, all those that envied him in his glory days, when the man was running, when the man was performing, when the man was in office, and when they seen the catastrophic repercussions and consequences, they said, Allah, rather we don't have what he had and meet with a fate like this, Allah. Better I was never in the driving seat, never had this opportunity, nor possessed this greed, and that were his ending. We ask Allah to protect us. We ask Allah to rid our hearts. I swear by Allah, my brother, I say this in the house of Allah, I said absolutely nothing, and I swear this in the house of Allah, hinting to any person, I don't ever use the sanctity of this podium to ever lash out at any person in any of my talks. I will be violating the sanctity of this podium if I have vested interest when I stand up here. I stand up in the humble capacity of a scholar, and I pray and I hope that Allah will translate my sentiments in some meaningful change, not here or around this place, but across the globe. And I leave you with the last words of Abu Darda radiallahu anhu. He said, "Man akthara dhikra al-maut, qalla farhuhu wa qalla hasaduhu." If you want to remedy your heart and you want to change your heart, he said, the one who thinks of death often, that I have to meet my Allah, he will laugh less and he will have no time to harbor jealousy. What did Sayyidina Abu Darda say? The one who thinks of death often, he will laugh less and he will have absolutely no time to waste in bickering. I pray and I hope and I ask the Almighty to effect this change in my life and in the brothers and the sisters that have gathered here. And may Allah rescue the Ummah. May Allah restore the honor of this Ummah. May Allah restore the glory of this Ummah. May Allah give us the spirit of brotherhood, that just as we sympathize in the pain of others, we participate in the achievements of the Ummah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.